I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're here from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're here from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The last thing they saw was someone they trusted. You're tuned in to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreeke.
Nexium, Keith Raniere. We've talked about this case in the past, and unfortunately, it appears that it's coming back into the news. Why? Well, there's a lot to it. Let's give you a little backstory. It's a self-help organization, or that's what it was, you know, marketed as. Turned sex cult, led by a man named Keith Raniere, or as his followers called him, Vanguard. Because there's no red flags when the person of your self-help organization demands to be called Vanguard. The headlines were jaw-dropping, but we now have a new twist. allegations of FBI evidence tampering that could upend the entire case. Claims of manipulated metadata and questionable search practices raise some uncomfortable questions about the justice system's integrity in this case. Joining us, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, to help us understand the investigative process, potential missteps, and what may have happened here, especially when trust in law enforcement is on the line. Robin, let's start with this. When these allegations of tampering arise in a case like this, what kind of internal safeguards and accountability systems should be in place to ensure public trust isn't shattered? And how can they go back here and say, we did this right, if in fact they did do it right?
So when I first saw this, I really lock in, because anytime you see FBI, I'm like, oh, all right, I can understand this and what's going on, because I've been there. I've been on these searches for the FBI. You know, I did it for, you know, over 22 years.
Yeah.
And so, interestingly enough, you know, using that word tampering, those claims are really rough for me. And here's why. When we see and hear things where we're covered in Delphi or the Reed case up in Boston, you know, local law enforcement operates very differently from the FBI, and there's some reasons here. And the biggest one, believe it or not, is the relationship that the law enforcement has to the community. Mm-hmm. When generally you have a case of tampering, there's a motive behind trying to adjust the evidence to suit the needs that you have. And generally those needs you have is because you have some sort of emotional vested interest in the outcome you have that you're looking for. That emotional vested interest in the outcome you're looking for is because you have deep ties to that community or the individuals involved in some reason. That's why this happens sometimes with local and state law enforcement, because this is where they grew up. This is where they're from. They're serving their communities. In the FBI at the federal level, I never worked anywhere near where I grew up. You know, when you go through the FBI Academy as an agent, you sign a document that says you can be placed anywhere in one of the 56 field offices around the country and any one of the hundreds of resident agencies subservient to them under them. When I grew up in upstate New York, just about an hour and a half north of New York City, and I got assigned, I had my 1 through 56 list lined out. I got choice 12, which was New York City. So you don't have a lot of personal ties to anyone in New York City. When I got transferred to the Norfolk division, I didn't have any personal ties there. The local guys did. Even in some of the NCIS guys did that I worked with. They are actually from the area. Mm-hmm. Only when I worked, then I went to FBI headquarters, same thing. Now where I live in Fredericksburg, Virginia, you know, I have some ties here as well, because I've lived here for about 17 years, but I'm still not, I'm almost becoming a local guy. Long explanation, I know, a narrative to say tampering, I'm not a big proponent of saying it's likely tampering with intention. Now, is it stupidity, missteps, and mistakes? That's a much higher probability, because I have seen that, because a lot of times when you do large, and I don't know the scale of the search and seizure they did, because that's what it is. You get a court order to do a search and seizure. And then when you generally do a search and seizure, depending on the size of the office, most offices in the FBI do not have a dedicated search and seizure team. Now they have some specialists, like a couple specialists that are there. For lack of a better word, search and seizure specialists. And those one or two people will be the ones that are leading a group of 5, 10, 20, 30 people, agents and support staff to go out on site. They're given instructions. They're given a lot of plastic baggies. They're given their gloves. They're given their instructions of what to do, what rooms to cover, and the things to collect. People like me that don't do it every day. So in other words, you'll have one on-site or two on-site experts that will give the directions, and you got to go back and forth to them. Then it's a meticulous process of collecting all this stuff. So in other words, you get a lot of reality of who's actually conducting the search, what they're actually looking for, the attention span they have, what went on before this, how long they've been on-site, when it was collected during that site, any outside influences, family trying to come in a door when they shouldn't be, neighbors getting nosy, news people on-site. So there's so many different data points and factors that are going to impact the proper collection of this. So for when it comes to trust and confidence, have trust and confidence by the public in the process, because there's very, very rarely at the federal level an emotional attachment to an outcome someone's seeking. So there is that objectivity that we sometimes are not seeing in these other cases. It's generally is really objective just because we are not emotionally attached to where we're living and the things we're doing. But mistakes along the way without a check and balance, it will creep through now and then. It is very, very rare, though, just because the experts that we do have on site, this is all they do all the time. But they're giving out instructions to people that don't do it all the time. Mm-hmm. That's my best ground level explanation of what most likely happened.
The allegations of FBI tampering are basically this, saying that the FBI agents manipulated metadata on key photographs that were used to convict Keith Raniere, making it appear that the victim was underage at the time that the photos were taken. Now, I'm not an expert in how you can edit metadata. I know, like, sometimes you go to properties and you can edit things on a file, and that is technically metadata. But there is other metadata on things that are not as easily accessible or editable. One of the arguments that's being used here is saying that it violated a chain of custody, that the memory card containing that photo with the critical evidence they were arguing with someone underage, they accessed it without a write blocker. All I can think of that is, you know, you check the read-only thing when you go to property, so you can't edit the file itself. Could we be looking at that? Because there's been a lot of agents, former FBI agents, who are on this case, you know, well-respected people who are saying, look, without a doubt, this file's metadata was tampered with. Now, again, we go back to tampering. You can access a file and it will say, sometimes less, like last modified, last accessed, created. There's different dates for different things that go onto a file. But according to them and their expert analysis, and I have no reason not to trust the people who are looking at this. I don't think anybody's out there going, yeah, let's let Keith Raniere out, the guy who brands women with cattle irons. But, you know, the truth should be told. If this was a misstep or something, that should be out there. I mean, isn't that... You have multiple people saying this is factually, it's been tampered, it's been adjusted. Let's say it that way. Is there a way, you know, to truly prove that without question? I would think, again, on data, it's kind of, you know, it is what it is. Either it was tampered with or it wasn't. I don't know if there's a lot of gray area here for arguing.
Yeah, I don't know the I don't know the technical side of being able to prove it or not prove it or anything. I did note the other agents, you know, former agents that are actually testifying that it was tampered with. So I'll take that as truth from their perspective. Mm-hmm. But you hit on one thing, which is more important that defense is going to use, and that's chain of custody. Chain of custody is huge on cases like this. And so if chain of custody was, if there's an accuracy, if there's an issue with the chain of custody, that's what they're going to attack. And if you have an issue with chain of custody, you can then refute the evidence that's in there. But and I'm with you. I don't think anyone is saying he should go free or that or anything else, but they're going after some missteps for some reason on the evidence and how it's collected and going after the FBI for it. I'm looking at, all right, so if there was tampered with, again, tampering, when I hear that word tamper, I hear intention. Mm-hmm. I'm not understanding what the intention was if they're tampering with it, because if they had a solid case on this, which it sounds like they did, this is just going to be an extra couple data points. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why, you know, like what would be the outcome that they're going for. That's why I'm more on the side of, oops, I sucked up and did something wrong, as opposed to intentional tampering with an outcome that they're seeking that they wouldn't otherwise have. Because I hear tampering, I hear I'm searching for an outcome I wouldn't otherwise get unless I took this action, because it's risky.
Yeah.
Because there are so many checks and there are so many wickets that you have to go through when collecting evidence for that objectivity, for those checks and balances. And because if you make a misstep on one of these things, it's very, very easy to track back to who made it. So in other words, if there was tampering or a chain of custody that went wrong, it's going to point to someone very, very directly. Mm-hmm. And that person's career is done. You know, we talked about this with Proctor up in the Karen Reed case. He can't serve in law enforcement ever again, because he can never go to trial. He can never be on a witness stand, because they will always say blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Well, same thing in these cases here. Because it always will come back to a name of someone that broke that chain of custody, of someone that was at least the last person that had custody of this, where the tampering happened or the mistake happened, well, then defense will always be able to challenge that person on a witness stand. Mm-hmm. And so no one wants to risk that, because if you can't go on a witness stand, why are you being paid to be in this position?
Yeah.
So in other words, it really impacts your employment. It really impacts a lot of things. It's a very risky thing that someone would do, and I just don't see what the benefit would be.
I mean, it's one thing, you know, if you open the file or whatever reason in it, then put a new date on it because of the date you opened it, whatever. I mean, that can happen, and maybe you didn't open it through the correct software, mm-hmm. or whatever. That's innocent. That's just not having the knowledge of the way you should be doing it, or it could be lazy. If you, that's very different than going in and editing the data, going, we better change the dates on this so we can make this person look like they're underage when in fact they're not. If that occurred, then, I mean, it to me, again, I'm not saying that happened, but if it did happen that way, the motive that would come to me is just, you know the case, if you're mm-hmm. an agent on it, sure. you understand the depravity of what was going on here. That is pretty much set in stone. There's no way to argue the branding of Keith Raniere's initials on all these women and saying that this was some sort of pure thing. And the sexual abuse. And you have all these people testifying to the same sort of abuse from this cult leader. But then you have this over here where it's arguing, well, this one was, you know, presented as she was underage, but maybe she wasn't. Could it have been some rogue agent? I mean, I guess anything's possible. You know, just like we've seen in other cases, let's put a little more weight on the scale here just to make sure we really get him, when in reality, he's going to sink his own boat.
Like you said, I never discount anything, but the only things I've ever seen is, oops, I made a mistake. I'm going to cover my ass.
Mm-hmm.
I literally think it's a cover my ass. I really do. Because granted, it can be something else. Like you said, they're if it's young and experienced with no checks and balances and they want to put that thumb, you know, double thumbs on a scale and make sure they go to jail. Yeah, it's possible. That definitely fits a narrative. But from my experience, again, I just limited optic, just mine. I've never seen that in my career. I would definitely call it out if I did, and tell you right here if I did. The only thing that I've seen more times than not is, oops, I made a mistake. Let me cover my tracks and hope I get away with it.
I don't know if you know the answer to this, because I don't. This may be more of a legal question, but this is being brought up in an appellate court. He's already been denied a retrial earlier last mm-hmm. year, and now they're bringing up this issue again, requesting a retrial or dismissal. I don't think he's going to get dismissal, but the fact that that's being brought up like this with these sort of accusations, where does it go from here? I mean, they're making these accusations. They have former FBI agents backing it up, saying, look, something happened here mm-hmm. and this was interpreted incorrectly. How, intent, all that, we don't know the answer to, but you had incorrect information to base your verdict on, to run this trial by. With that being said, does the FBI now come back? I mean, this is an appellate thing. Do they come back and argue and say, yes, we don't know what happened here either. You discovered this error. You guys do what you're going to do. Or do they, if they can prove that it wasn't something intentional, do they come back and do that? Or is it right now just pretty much up to the judge as if we're even going to allow those arguments to be made?
You know, I don't know legally what they can and can't do on these things. But again, from my optic, from where I was at in the FBI, when it comes to legal proceedings, they're going to go with whatever the judge says. They're not going to, I've never seen, and again, I am not, I don't hold, I don't want to say negative things. You know, I have no problem saying where I see misgivings in the FBI, no problem whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I have never seen a situation where I have personally seen or even heard through the grapevine or anything else in my career that said someone's going to double down on, we made a mistake and we're going to double down on this. When it comes to collection, when you not take the upper echelon political mm-hmm. people out of this, when you're dealing with case agents on the street and you're dealing with investigating crimes and dealing with cases like this, I have not seen an instance or a case where anyone even insinuated trying to double down and protect someone, because especially if there's time that's been passed, these people have moved on. They're different positions. You know, I see whatever the judge says they need to do, they're going to come clean on it. They're going to say, yeah, this was a misstep or not a misstep. And this should be resolved just because it's not, because again, that emotional vesting at the federal level just doesn't happen the same way, because no one is typically emotionally attached to mm-hmm. anything or any place or any particular judge or not judge, because, you know, just in the FBI itself, I mean, supervisors rotate around every 7 years that would be supervising this. You know, management of our field offices rotates. Case agents can spend an entire career in a place, but even those are very fluid, much more fluid than you see at a local and a state level. I mean, me, myself, 22 years in the FBI, I served my first 9 years in New York City. I went from New York City to Norfolk, Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia FBI headquarters to Quantico, where I served in multiple units at Quantico, teaching and instructing, running a behavioral team, and then the Fredericksburg office of Richmond. I mean, so I was all over the East Coast and then covering cases all over the country. So that's very, very typical for a lot of agents, is that there's you become emotionally objective, I should say. And that's why whatever the judge says and what they determine they need to do to clarify this issue, I think I would have high confidence they're going to do it, because I just don't see a reason why this would happen. But I think what's happening is when you have a couple former agents giving it some weight, that's why I think they're looking at it. Because again, to me, at first I'd say, all right, made a boo-boo, made a misstep. Probably not there because it's FBI, not because FBI is infallible, just because I know how we think and operate.
Sure.
But when you have a couple former agents saying it, that's interesting that they're doing that. So it makes me curious what happened.
Yeah.
So I'm with everyone else, but I'm thinking they're going to come clean. In other words, I don't think it's going to be a deep conspiracy theory to double down on crazy. My guess.
The question that would then remain, and again, it's kind of a legal question, but I want to get your conjecture on it. Does it rise to the level of, let's do this again, new trial, or, you know, because all this was in the same trial, in the same case together. It wasn't like there was a trial for this one and that one. It was all put together into one. You'd probably have to retry the whole damn thing. And it's not like you're going to get a super different outcome on the other elements of this. You may get a different one on this, just simply arguing that she was of age, if that in fact is the case. But the trauma, the horrible things that happened are still remain. So does it go back to trial, or is this just we messed up, and then it's up to the judge to say whether or not this really would affect a verdict?
Yeah, I think I don't know, because again, I'm not the legal side of these things. And I think the only thing I'm thinking of when you're saying this is kind of like the Alec Murdaugh case. You know, does Becky Hill's, thumb on a scale with potential jury tampering really affect the outcome of the case of Alec Murdaugh being guilty? No, probably not. You know, so I think the same thing here. I think the judge is going to weigh in, is going to look at he or she's going to look at the evidence that they have, and what would the impact be if this indeed did happen? Would it actually weigh on the outcome? And is it worth bringing it to jury again, you know, to trial again, with the cost, the money, and would it affect the outcome of the case? From what I'm seeing, it doesn't. Maybe they're just trying to give the FBI a good poke in the eye and say, hey, fix your crap and don't do it again. I don't know what they're going for on this one, except, hey, yeah, someone along the way either made a drastically bad mistake, put their thumb on the scale, didn't affect the outcome of the case from anything we're seeing. I mean, this looks like crazy to me, so yeah. I don't know.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're here from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Hurry! These July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You'll hear from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Hurry! These July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You'll hear from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.